Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, the Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Classic FM. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, country, rock, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's trivia questions come to us from the website onthisday.com. Question number one, it was announced on this day back in 2004 that Bob Dylan would be receiving an honorary Doctor of Music at an upcoming graduation ceremony. Which educational institution made that announcement? Was that A, Stanford University, B, University of St. Andrews in Scotland, was it C, Berklee College of Music, or was it D, Wake Tech Community College? So where did Dr. Bob get his honorary degree from anyway? And question number two, who wrote the rock song Twist and Shout? Was that A, the Beatles? Was it B, the Isley Brothers? Was it C, Roy Orbison? Or was it D, none of those above? So who wrote that early rock classic anyway? The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from that same website, onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of June the 14th. Well, it was on this very day, back in 1843, that Edvard Grieg was born. Grieg was a Norwegian composer and pianist. He's widely considered one of the leading Romantic-era composers. Grieg was known for such compositions as Peer Gynt, which he wrote to convert Ibsen's play into a musical phenomenon. And it was 59 years ago today, 1965, that Paul McCartney recorded Yesterday, a song originally recorded by the Beatles for their 1965 album Help. Although credited to Lennon-McCartney, the song was written solely by Paul McCartney. It remains popular today with more than 2,200 cover versions. It remains one of the most covered songs in the history of recorded music. And in country music news, we have this article titled, Carrie Underwood Brutally Falls Off the Stage in the Pouring Rain at Carolina Country Music Fest. This is written by Eric Tedisco, June 10, 2024, New York Post. Ouch! Carrie Underwood took a nasty fall on stage in the pouring rain at the Carolina Country Music Fest in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, on Sunday night. The country superstar, 41, finished performing her classic Before He Cheats, which she walked toward the back of the stage in the midst of a rainstorm, as seen in a TMZ video. Underwood seemed to reference the mishap when she shared an Instagram post about the concert on Monday. Well, last night sure was fun, and though the ending was quite unexpected, it made for a night we'll never forget. Thanks for being awesome, #MyrtleBeach. she wrote. The Post has reached out to Underwood's rep for comment. The American Idol winner also shared a video of her performance in the rain, writing, "We won't let a little rain stop us. We won't let a massive downpour stop us either." Fans praised Underwood for carrying on with her show in the middle of a torrential downpour. That's commitment and dedication to the fans, and that put her there. No one else like her, one fan commented. She's a true artist who cares about her fans, another person wrote. It was amazing. The rain was such an amazing ending to a hot, hot weekend, a different person said. Another fan called Underwood's performance a life-changing experience. Underwood headlined the ninth year of the Carolina Country Music Fest for the first time and sang a number of her hits, including Jesus, Take the Wheel, Good Girl, and the aforementioned Before He Cheats. The event crowd reportedly exceeded 35,000 attendees. Underwood has mostly been in Las Vegas lately for her Reflection residency at Resorts World, which began in 2021. The residency has been so successful that Underwood has continued to extend its run, with her final Las Vegas show planned for October. What I love about Vegas is you're in one place, but everybody's from everywhere, she previously told Rolling Stone. It's a mishmash of people from all over the place. It's cool to look at the audience and think about that. And in classical music news, in February 1965, Pavarotti made his American debut in this opera by Donizetti, titled Lucia di Lammermoor. He had been personally recommended by co-star Dame Joan Sutherland. Title of the article, Was Pavarotti Still a Good Singer? At what age does a tenor reach his peak? This is published in Slate.com. By Michelle Tsai, September the 6th, 2007. Italian tenor Luciano Pavarotti passed away at the age of 71 after an opera career that spanned five decades. The so-called King of the High Seas sang almost until the end. He gave his final performance last year for the Winter Olympics in Turin, Italy. When do opera singers peak as vocalists? Usually between 30 and 50 years old. Singers' voices mature anywhere from their 20s to the early 40s, and in general, voices that are deeper and heavier in tone take longer to develop fully. Sopranos with light voices typically reach their peaks earliest in the mid-20s. Tenors start to hit their prime in the late 20s or early 30s, and basses sometimes have to wait until middle age for their voices to mature. Some get started earlier, of course. Soprano Maria Callas made her professional debut at 18, and basso singer Jerome Hines starred in Verdi's Rigoletto when he was just 19. The best violinists can play with top orchestras as teenagers, but opera singers take the stage much later. Vocalists spend years mastering their techniques, but physiology also explains why opera singers have to wait. Hormonal changes continue to alter a singer's voice in adulthood, long after the end of puberty. The vocal folds, muscles that rapidly open and close as we speak or sing, get stronger, as do the muscles that support them in the chest, abdomen, neck, and back. When the hormones stabilize and the muscles and lungs reach the right levels of development, then the singer's voice reaches its prime form for opera. Singers have to project their voices above the orchestra and reach the farthest corners of concert halls and possess enough stamina to last most of an evening. Opera singers can stay at their peak for decades with efficient technique, good health, and a suitable repertoire. One reason Pavarotti was able to sing for as long as he did was because he didn't strain his vocal folds. He delivered songs as easily as if he were conversing, embodying an approach that voice coaches call si canta come si parla, or sing as you speak. He also knew that his voice was capable of and stuck close to arias that made the most of his talents, like Nessun Dorma from Puccini's Turandot. Others don't age so gracefully. Despite her early start, Maria Callas declined prematurely. Some believe she wore out her voice in the course of highly dramatic performances. Others think Callas's early roles were too heavy for her voice. The vocal folds start to weaken eventually because of age, and sopranos suffer the most. During a tenor's high C, his vocal folds close about 500 times a second. For a soprano's high C, the rate is about 1,000 times each second. When menopause hits, the loss of estrogen lowers women's voices, and they lose their highest notes. Since fat cells produced estrogen, though, obese opera sopranos tend to be more resilient. They can keep on singing. And in music research and technology, we have this article titled, Sound Advice, Tips to Consider Before Buying Wireless Headphones or a Pair of Earbuds. This is published in Costco Connection, June 2024 issue, and written by Mark Saltzman. Once you own wireless headphones, you will wonder how you ever lived without them. Whether you use an on-ear model, an over-the-ear set like a DJ, or a small pair of earbuds, these small gadgets deliver amazing sound and you can move around while you enjoy them. And if a call comes in, most have a microphone to chat hands-free. Today's headphones seamlessly pair with smartphones, as well as other Bluetooth-enabled devices such as tablets, laptops, smartwatches, and many smart TVs. Here are some points to remember and to ponder before you buy your next wireless headphones. The right type. Think about where and how you'll use them. Earbuds, for example, are ideal for people who are on the go and may want to chat with others hands-free, and they're more conducive for those who exercise since they're small and lightweight. On the other hand, if you are after a totally immersive experience, over-the-ear headphones may be the way to go. The right fit. For earbuds, some companies include small, medium, and large silicone tips that you can swap out to get the right fit. Others offer a one-size-fits-all approach. Make sure the earbuds you buy will remain inside your ears comfortably while you move around. If you use them outside or while working out, make sure they are water-resistant to withstand rain or sweat. The right features. Headphones with active noise-canceling technology block out ambient noise around you by introducing inverse sound waves that negate incoming sounds. On the flip side, some headphones have an ambient setting so you can better hear what's going on around you. This is ideal for pedestrians, runners, and cyclists who want to be aware of cars and other risks. Time between charges. Battery life is important. Look for a minimum of 5 to 6 hours of music playback between charges. Most wireless earbuds include a charging case with its own battery that offers 20 to 30 hours of extra charge. Great sounding wireless headphones are affordable. Look for models with large drivers, the component that acts as a tiny loudspeaker. Earbud drivers generally range between 8 and 13 millimeters, while over-the-ear drivers range between 30 and 50 millimeters. Also look for models with a well-balanced audio signal, lows, mids, and highs, and the features you most desire. Say the word. You can activate many headphones and earbuds by tapping an ear cup or an earbud. Some headphones let you activate your nearby smartphone's personal assistant by simply saying its wake words, such as, "Hey Siri," or, "Okay Google." Once activated, ask the personal assistant's question like, "What's the weather today?" Peter Frampton's Sweet Liberté introduces our rock and pop music news. Peter Frampton says he's a fighter, despite inclusion body mysitis starting to affect the way I play. Frampton highlights how it's humbling to feel fans' special love for me when I do a concert. This is published in People magazine by Chris Barilla, updated on June 6, 2024. Peter Frampton hopes fans appreciate the fact that I'm not giving up. The legendary singer and songwriter, 74, tells People that he's a fighter and will continue performing and making music for as long as he can, despite symptoms worsening in his arms and hands due to inclusion body myositis. The condition is one of a group of muscle diseases known as the inflammatory myositis, which are characterized by chronic progressive muscle inflammation accompanied by muscle weakness, according to the National Institutes of Health. But Frampton isn't letting it stop him. When we're on set, we all sit down now because I have to sit down, so my whole band sits down, and it's kind of like we're in the living room, you know, even though it's a big venue, he explains, highlighting how fans metaphorically have this huge pair of arms that are around us, on stage and me, Frampton adds. It's humbling to feel their special love for me when I do a concert. It's pretty incredible. The Show Me the Way singer shares that beyond impacting his ability to stand on stage, the condition has also started to affect the way I play just because of the pressure that I need to press down on the frets. Frampton first revealed his inclusion body myositis diagnoses in 2019 to CBS This Morning Saturday. According to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductee, doctors identified his condition after a fall on stage in mid-2015. I'm thinking of all the times in my life that I have something devastating that has happened to my career or in my family or me. I brushed myself off, got myself up, and changed directions, he said at the time. Part of Frampton's willingness to not give up is to use his position to help advance research into inclusion body myositis, which he tells people has been wonderful so far. I started the Peter Frampton Fund at Johns Hopkins Hospital for the benefit of everybody that has this disease, he shares, noting how we have no cure right now, and all of the money raised by the organization is going to fund drug trials. Frampton also shares how the fans have been very, very supportive of the fund so far, and offers thanks to all of the people that donate all of the time. I can't thank them enough. They care, you know. They really care, he says, of his supporters. Finally, Nitty Gritty Dirt Band's Raleigh Durham Reel introduces our local music news. It's an article titled Classical Fact, Make Music. This is published in Quarter Notes, 89.7 WCPE, the classicalstation.org website, Summer 2024 issue. June 21 is Make Music Day, a holiday that originated in France and is now celebrated in over 1,000 cities in over 115 countries worldwide. Go to makemusicday.org, that's one word, to find a Make Music event near you. So how'd you do on today's trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, it was announced on this day back in 2004 that Bob Dylan would be receiving an honorary Doctor of Music at an upcoming graduation ceremony. Which educational institution made that announcement? Was that A, Stanford University? Was it B, University of St. Andrews, Scotland? Was it C, Berklee College of Music, or was it D, Wake Tech Community College? Correct answer? Answer B, the University of St. Andrews in Scotland. Dylan also received an honorary doctorate of music from Princeton University, New Jersey, in 1970. And President Clinton presented him with a Kennedy Center honor at the White House in 1997, recognizing the excellence of his contribution to American culture. And the answer to our second question, who wrote the rock song Twist and Shout? Was that A, the Beatles, B, the Isley Brothers, C, Roy Orbison, or D, none of those above artists? Correct answer, answer D, none of the above. The Isley Brothers released their cover of Twist and Shout on this very day back in 1962 and made this 1961 song, written by Burt Burns, more popular than the original cover by an American R&B group called The Top Notes. As noted in a February 18, 2021 article in Quora.com, the Beatles turned it into an even bigger hit in 1964 and topped the singles charts in the United States, Finland, and New Zealand. Many people actually thought the Beatles wrote this song, but in fact, Burt Burns wrote it based on the song La Bamba, a Mexican folk tune. Turns out, even the Beatles thought that the Isley Brothers had written it. So let's close out today's program with the song recorded by McCartney 59 years ago today, Yesterday.
Yesterday, all my troubles seem so far away. Now it looks as though they're here to stay. Oh, I believe in yesterday. Suddenly.
Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program is also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. As we leave you now, remember these words. Kindness is a language which blind people see and deaf people hear. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. So long, until next time.
Yesterday, love was such an easy game to play. Now I need a place to hide away.